participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Okay. Oh. Oh, we're here.
Yep.
Headphones never felt so good.
So, yes. Tell me. Jen. Brad.
Oh.
I just wanted to say that since I heard the news.
I know.
You know, I have her picture in plastic right here.
She's available.
She could be yours now.
Every day, I look at that girl, Jen. I told you, Brad Pitt, like armpit.
You know, there is hope for you and me because maybe she's thinking about going in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
I think so.
She wants to find out how the other half lives.
Yeah. I mean, really.
She's
okay,
enough.
Pretty boy. You're all done, pretty boy.
She's had enough of all of that Hollywood lifestyle.
Yeah, why go out with a man that looks like a girl?
Come. Live with a man who looks like Jim Belushi, who broke my garage again.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I drove the car into the garage, I broke it again.
Oh,
since,
no.
Yes. Oh, hold on, Rob.
You did or Jim Belushi did?
Well, I did in a Jim Belushi-like moment.
Uh-huh. And I just want to say, Brad, I'm here.
Yeah.
Ah. As always.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Shoulder to cry on, Rob.
Yeah. As always.
Or anything, really.
So there's Brad and Jen.
Wow.
Okay.
I didn't know that was an expression of gay love.
And then,
didn't take us long, did it?
And then...
And then you hurt your garage,
and then there was yesterday.
What?
During the Packers game.
Yeah. Are we on the air?
Yes.
Right.
Now,
almost.
Who's not a bigger Packers fan than me?
No.
However, you know, I don't care what Randy Moss did.
No.
I thought it was...
Go, Pack, go!
I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
The guy goes towards the end zone, he starts to pull his pants down. Thank God we... And he didn't really, he just pantomimed that he was pulling his pants down.
Pantomime.
Yeah. I've seen worse. That one made me laugh, and I didn't want the touchdown to count.
I have the same bet with Randy Moss that I do with Rob.
What's that?
The hair bet.
Yeah, he's doing better than me.
He is.
Throws fast.
He's not cheating.
Neither am I.
I can't tell you. However, every time the camera was on Randy Moss with that big, gigantic afro,
it's pretty.
The phone would ring. I would just look at it, knowing which one of these calls is going to be Rob.
Of course.
Which one's going to be Rob?
He's jealous.
He is jealous.
But I must be honest before I play this tape of Joe Buck.
Mm-hmm.
I caved. I finally called Rob and said, have you checked out the afro? What do you got there? Number two? Yeah, I had to say it to him. I said,
oh, dang.
It's just like buckwheat.
Oh, yes.
I said, look at Randy Moss's afro.
Right.
Oh, dang.
Oh, dang. Right.
So.
Oh, God.
Also, as I'm watching this Packers game yesterday, Randy Moss, as I mentioned, does this thing where he pretends to pull his pants down, doesn't really do it. And Joe Buck, totally, this is what's wrong with media right now in this country. Listen to this overreaction. If you didn't see the play, if you're not a sports fan, and we're not a sports show, we'll get off this real briefly.
Right.
Randy Moss catches the touchdown pass against the Packers. He runs to the back of the end zone. He faces the back of the end zone. His back is facing the fans in the end zone.
Right,
right.
He squats down like this and pretends to pull his pants down like he's mooning them.
Just pretends.
Okay? So here's the very uptight, politically correct Joe Buck. I'm normally a big fan of Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this overreaction.
Randy Moss is in for a touchdown.
The route, and Randy Moss, without even really being able to run, as he shoots the moon to the fans here in Green Bay.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss, and it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting by Randy Moss.
Oh, Joe.
Let's run it again.
Joe, eat one. I mean, the other guy says, he's mooning the fans.
What did he do the week before?
He walked off the field.
That's right. He walked off the field. I mean, it's tough to really even keep track of the Randy Moss controversies.
But I'm thinking about it. I'm watching this. This is like an overreaction. Joe Buck is saying, oh, this, you know, listen, it's not like he actually pulled down his pants.
No.
Which would have been a great end zone.
Oh, that would have been a controversy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Well, he would have had a jock on, hopefully.
Randy Moss is in for a touchdown.
Without even really being able to run, and he shoots the moon to the fans here in Green Bay.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss. And it's unfortunate that we had that on our air live. That is disgusting by Randy Moss.
Lighten up, Francis.
That was disgusting. Meanwhile, he's reading cards for all the junk. And don't forget, stay tuned tonight for Who's Your Daddy on Fox.
Exactly.
The Tasteful Network.
Exactly.
Anyway.
We all have to chill out.
That's right.
Just eat one.
And sorry about your Packers. I mean, if anybody would be justified to come in here and attack Randy Moss, it would be you. But no, you embrace his moon.
I do. It's funny. Mm-hmm. You know, and Brett Favre does that. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. That's why he's great. That's why he's who he is, because he throws dumb interceptions. We've got one other tape, and then we'll actually start the show here. So let me see. Oh, and I almost forgot. Last week, a week before, of course, Reggie White passed away.
We're very gifted in what we call worship and celebration. A lot of us like to dance. If you go to a black church, you see people jumping up and down because they really get into it. White people were blessed with the gift of structure and organization.
You know, I saw all the tributes to Reggie White, a very deserving individual and a great guy. I never heard any of these tapes, though.
No. I heard a reference to it, but that was it. And it was very brief.
And then I heard somebody reference that and say how bad that was, that they referenced the fact that he made so much sense.
You guys do a good job of building businesses and things of that nature. And you know how to tap into money pretty much better than a lot of people do around the world.
You'll be missed.
Hispanics were gifted in family structure. And you can see a Hispanic person, and they could put 20, 30 people in one home.
His words live on.
They were gifted in the family structure. When you look at the Asian, the Asian is very gifted.
You're right, Reggie.
In creation, creativity.
That's why I'm wearing.
And inventions.
92 on my helmet today.
Japan or any Asian country, they can turn a television into a watch.
We're all wearing 92 stickers.
They're very creative. Then you look at the Indians. They've been very gifted in the spirituality.
Let's look at them.
When you put all of that together, guess what it makes?
What?
It forms a complete image of God.
Here he is. So we'll be wearing the 92.
Amen.
On our helmets.
He will be missed.
Hold on. This is very odd before we've even started the show. Here is Jeff. Jeff.
Hey, Don and Mike. Welcome
Don and
back.
Mike show. First call in the first show of 2005.
I am excited.
Here we go.
Welcome back, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, the reason Joe Buck got so upset was because after Randy Moss pretended to pull his pants down, he then took his butt over to the goalpost and wiped it where it says Packers.
Yeah.
So that's why Buck got ticked off, not just about the pulling down of the pants, but the wiping of the butt.
You mean you're crawling inside of Joe Buck's brain?
I never heard Joe Buck reference the fact, and I didn't see Randy Moss wipe his butt. You know what I would say to that? I would say I'd give it a higher rating. I mean, if I was a judge, I'd say
And hold on a second. I mean, did he walk over to the goalpost?
Yeah, he wiped it on the goalpost.
Did he go up and down?
Yes, right where it says Packers.
Well, that's more of a grind than really simply pull down.
A wipe.
Maybe that's the way you do it.
Thanks for being the first call of 2005. Goodbye, you tool.
You're welcome.
Happy New Year. Oh, dear.
Everyone's back.
You know what? That's quick.
Okay. Yeah,
that's real quick.
Well, let me just say to you so we can start the show. Hello, everybody.
Hi there. How are you? Oh, it's 2005.
I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milford Drysdale, president of the Commerce Bank in Beverly Hills and personal bracket of Grammy.
What TV's actor? What 70s TV actor? What 70? What 70s?
Why don't you start again? Hi, Scott Shannon.
We've just got... See, here's the thing.
What?
I'm looking at the clock. It's 3:09, for God's sakes.
Right.
12:09 on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
we've got like a week's worth of the groaners that, because we were on vacation for an ungodly amount of time.
I think people will understand. They hire more than,
so
more than three.
There's so many of them.
And so good.
What's 70? I'll give you the ones that aren't really great in my regular voice.
Okay.
As opposed to that other fantastic trick voice I use.
You're America's favorite mimic.
And I aspire to be, like you, Mike, the number one mimic. who said that? Liddy
that hump.
He's a talented mimic.
He's quite a mimic.
Oh, he got fired from Westwood One.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Did you know that? G. Gord Liddy got fired from Westwood One from our network.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Hold on, I said network.
Oh, God, you're killing me.
What 70s TV actor is good for the environment?
Which one?
Scott Baio. Degradable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What former Saturday Night Live cast member is very religious?
Which one?
Joe Episcopalian.
Oh.
That's terrific.
Wow.
What would Barry Bonds try to get from each state if he were running for president?
What?
Pectoral votes. And now...
Now the good one.
Now a few that will really make you chuckle.
Very good.
Hello, this is Michael Scott Shadow.
I'm number nine.
What's the Fox show that fixes cows up with their long-lost parents?
Which one?
Moo's Your Daddy. Moo's Your Daddy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. We heard.
Yeah, got it.
Got it the first time.
Hello. How do you check Vicki Lawrence for cancer?
How?
Give her a mammogram.
Wow.
Yeah, I know where that came from.
As timely as today's headlines, our final one.
Yeah.
What is the most popular Japanese... Oops.
What?
Nope. Gonna move.
Okay.
What is the most destructive dessert? Well, see, here, there's two of them that are right. I'm looking for the one about the tsunami.
I see.
Because we've got one. And they're both involved restaurants. What's the most popular Japanese restaurant in Sweden?
What?
Svenihana.
Oh, Svenihana. Sven won.
Svenihana.
There it is.
Yes. So, I'm sorry about that. I lost. There's sorry. So many. There's
so many.
You know,
hey now!
No. There's one
not
more
going
killer
to
one.
Hey now!
There's one more killer one. It's like going into Baskin Robbins for the first time when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know which one to order. They're
you
all
can't
so good.
Decide.
Okay. I don't know which voice to use. Okay. What is the most destructive dessert item in an Italian restaurant?
What?
Terra Tsunami.
Hey now.
Terra Tsunami. Terra Tsunami.
Jesus, hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Well,
give it started.
We have.
We are off and running.
What do you call it when hundreds of thousands of people get overtaken by waves of female genitalia?
What?
A punami.
Oh my.
What brand of chair should airline pilots avoid looking at?
What?
Laser Boy. Remember, that's because somebody was like shooting a laser.
Right, yes. Right.
What 80s band had a landscaping business on the side?
Which one?
The Mulcher Club.
So many of them. Man, you just can't decide. I can understand.
Hello!
They're all trees.
They're all so good.
Hello!
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 Okay. Yeah, right. Hi there.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And out. I tried the door. And Rob, wild card for you. Guess which machine it was in 2005.
I'm going to guess machine 5.
Number 3.
Number 3. 3.
There it is.
How have you been?
We've been fine.
Good. Mike? That's right. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. The Mike-A-Wish Foundation. All this shit that's me. Hey, they would have been back sooner, but they had a hard time booking a flight back from Thailand. Welcome back.
Oh.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. And hi, thank you for listening, everybody. This is the Don and Mike Show. We're back live, and it's a new episode on this Monday.
Monday.
1-1-0. 800-800-0005.
Hi, Donna. Mike Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
There you go. Okay, show's finally on the air. And hi, thank you for listening, everybody.
Oh, it's like being back in a comfortable chair.
Donna sure Mike is. Show, it's January 10th. 20-odd-5 from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067, and Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
All right. Let's take this opportunity to remind everyone that we will have a three-day weekend coming up next weekend.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I need the break.
Really. I had to do that. Thanks, ass.
I had to.
That's for everybody. Yeah. That's what I call a little salvo across the bow.
I've looked over the calendar. As far as I can see, we're taking no days off in October.
I had to do that. I've been planning to do it all
week. You're killing me.
I was. I know I'm killing you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You worry about things like that. You shouldn't. It's funny.
It's fun.
It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny.
You know, we're
want to let everybody know
we are
that a week from today
we won't be here. Because it's Martin Luther King Day.
Just wanted to let people know in case they were concerned.
Making plans.
Because I know occasionally on this show back, people are concerned about that. And I figured I'd beat them to the punch.
Yeah, clear it up.
Let me just, you know, I put my hands over my face. It's not so smart when you're doing a radio show. I was like, look this. We are blessed to have a great contract that gives us lots of vacation time around Christmas.
Okay, anyway,
amen. It's not enough for you, Mike.
Let's eat.
Let's eat. More than any other year.
Mm-hmm.
I was ready to come back to work, oh, I don't know, maybe the Monday that the vacation started.
Wow.
I mean, like, just after the weekend.
That's yeah.
You, I was ready.
You were refreshed after the weekend. Your batteries were recharged.
That's all you needed.
No, they were not.
Oh, okay.
The will was being sucked out of my soul.
The energy.
Little bit by little bit as the holidays progressed. Mm. Listen, I say this to you as someone who's trying to turn over a new leaf for 2005.
A new loofah?
A new leaf. A new leaf. Listen to me now.
What is the resolution?
Chris, it's not a resolution. I'm just throwing out a thought.
Okay.
This whole Christmas thing is highly overrated. What we got to do is boil it down to maybe 2 days tops.
Can I give that a round of applause? Because I agree.
As a nation.
Are we all for that?
We say as a nation, 2 days for Christmas, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, go back to where you live. Go back to what you do.
It would cut down on the Christmas hangover, and I'm not talking about booze.
And then you've got New Year's Eve. I would give New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, same thing. 2 days.
I believe New Year's Eve is the most overrated holiday of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to be back. I'm really glad to be back.
You know, I'm actually very, very glad to be back. But I don't get that way. I know you get that way, like, at home. I get that way when I get back here. When I walk into the building, I always get very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all I know is that on New Year's Eve, do you want to know my real first thought of New Year's Eve?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Only another week. Now I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation, supposed to be having the time of my life.
Exactly.
Surrounded by family and friends. And generally I was. But yet there's something inside of me that wanted to go to the kitchen, grab a butcher knife.
Yes.
Do what I had to do.
Slash the whole family.
Get in my car and drive towards Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even like Mexico.
I know. It's just, you wanted to go where the warm weather was?
I just wanted to go.
Another jurisdiction,
away. Perhaps. Wanted to go where, well, no, I can't.
Where you couldn't be prosecuted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And where, you know, I finally got to a point. God, I'm such an ass after a holiday. I just can't come in and give you that schmaltzy, hey, it's great to be back because I really missed all you guys, missed doing the show. I did. But also, it's great to be back because it's great to be away from all those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hesitate to say this because having a great amount of vacation time is great.
Yeah, sure.
And it's wonderful. I just wish that it's my own fault. I agreed to it. I should have gone somewhere. I should have done something.
Yeah.
You got to get away.
I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. I had a big meltdown on about January 3rd.
Tackle any major family projects?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Yes, I did. I had a big meltdown around the third when I just incredibly rude and boorish announced to my entire family that they were all driving me to the point of no return, that I simply had to seek asylum somewhere where they were not, or I was not going to be able to continue functioning as a human being.
your functioning level as the head of the family was just escaping.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. Too many people, too many parties, too many questions, too much everything.
That's
even the good stuff. You know, too much everything.
Too much.
So what we've got to do is just compress Christmas, and then we'll be fine. Because, that this thing about good feelings lasting all year, BS. Everybody's already back in bad moods. Hell, you guys were in bad moods last week if you had to come back to work last week.
They were in bad moods on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm. Were they really?
Well, at least around where I was.
I had, actually, that would be one of the high points. Christmas Day was good till about 4 o'clock.
I'm just talking about out and about human beings. Because we do it wrong in this country. We don't do it right. We don't do it right. We all vacation at the same time. We take time off at the same time. And when we do that, that means that all of us are in the same spots where everybody else is. And that's when you want to kill people.
That's right. Excuse me. So, here we go. We're going to this is a very rough show. I apologize for that. The first show back after vacation always is. Bear with us. I've got a laundry list of things to get to, things I've wanted to get off my chest. And this pisses me off.
Greetings, if you will.
Pisses me off, too. Part of the problem with doing a show after we've been on vacation for a while is that I'm not as worked up as I was at the time.
Okay.
I realize on some of these items that I'm not going to be able to sell it with the true hatred that I was feeling for the situation when I describe it to you now.
Yeah, I mean, to do that, you would have to have a live microphone in the car with you at the time.
But you may surprise yourself.
I gave Mike a brief insight today. I said, don't say it on the air, but I'll tell you now. It was on December 17th.
Uh-huh.
Remember way back then before Christmas?
Right.
That was the day that my wife's family was having the deal where we go from house to house to house to house for this party from 11 a.m.
I know you were looking forward to it.
11 a.m. till 7 p.m.
Right.
And it was a CF, and everybody agrees it was a CF, but everybody's in it, and I won't bore you with the details. But as we were en route to house number four.
In a total of five?
Total of six. I had a moment in the car where I was by myself. I was going from one house to the next. I had a moment in the car by myself, and I swear to God, I pulled out in front of, I think it's Happy Harry. Is that the drugstore chain up there in Ocean City?
Is there really a drugstore chain called Happy Harry?
Yeah, the guy that looks like Hank Hill.
I'm Happy Harry.
His face is on the sign. It's Happy Harry's discount drugstore.
What type of prescription do you require?
So this is only on December 17th. We've been on vacation for one day.
Less than one day.
But this thing with all these family parties in one day was driving me nuts. And it was driving me nuts that most of the people going to the parties had agreed by the time we got to the third house that it really wasn't a good idea. But the plan had been made. And the reason that we had to go to six different houses was because it was a surprise birthday party for my sister-in-law at the last house.
Oh, a combination of activities.
Yeah.
Like not only Christmas, but a birthday in there.
You know, you could have cut your losses about halfway through, just kept it to three houses, and you would have had a better surprise. But as it turned out, her surprise was great. I kept all of my emotions in check. Good. It was not until we were going from one house to the other. I dropped somebody off, went back to the other house to get somebody else. I got the parking lot with Happy Harry's discount drugs, and I was just sitting at a light. And it's like something you see out of a movie when a guy has a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't having a panic attack.
You were blowing off steam.
I was just mad. I sat there at the stoplight. I swear to God, my fist like this on the dashboard. And went, ah! Ah! I mean, much more animated. I mean,
it's
lucky
good for
I said,
you. Ah!
No!
Let it out.
Because
did anybody see you do this?
No. And this is why I was this way. For six consecutive parties with all of the same people, all of the same beloved family members, you would go from one house to the next. And when you got to the next house, you had to start all over again.
That's just
like
insanity.
Like you hadn't seen these people before, and like you hadn't been talking to them, and like, you know, you had to have their stale breath on you, and that they certainly hadn't had mine on them. And the nibbling of the food and the cocktail weenies. And
did anybody, the only question I have for you about that day, at any time during any stops, did anybody say, hey, long time no see? You know, yeah. Anybody lay that on you?
See, this is what was great about this group, that by the time the third house happened, all of that had worn off. All of the phony, hey, we're going to turn this into something good.
Right.
You had people walking around, and their body language is like when you're in an airport waiting for an airplane.
Oh, my God.
Their body language is like, yeah, okay, we're here at this house now.
Yeah.
Until we all go to the next house.
What was the average time spent at each house?
Anywhere between an hour and an hour and a half.
Wow.
So, that was my first...
What time do you start this? At like 7 a.m.?
11 a.m. Mm-hmm. It was 11 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Wow.
It was an all-day thing, all-encompassing, you know, driving from house to house.
Would the one person feel slighted if, like, at house number two, you spent maybe 90 minutes, and at house number one, you spent 60 minutes?
No, but here's the thing. This group of people... You know, this is the thing with people in general. Nobody's got the stones, myself included, to say to any of them at some point, this is ridiculous. Why are we going to all these houses?
Hey, can we blow up this little caravan?
So I actually did, during times, I approached different members of the family and said, hey, don't you think that, you know, I know everybody thinks that I'm an ass, but don't you think this is, and everybody said, yeah, it's crazy. I said, why are we going to three more houses? Well... Because people have already got the food and everything. People went to Price Club and everything to get right. The hors d'oeuvres.
And it's already out, uncovered.
And the bar is set up. Well, no, Mike, that's why people were going from house to house, because they would get the food out of the refrigerator.
Oh, so you'd have advanced teams.
Put the food in the stoves. Huh. And by the time you got to the fifth house, not only were you pissed at all the kids, because they were just yelling and screaming and having sugar and out of their minds, and the parents weren't motivated to do much,
no,
except sit and stare at whoever is sitting next to you, and everybody's looking at their watches going, well, this is a really great party. When do you think we go to the next house?
Yeah.
I don't know, about 25 minutes.
It seems nuts.
It was, but I made it through it.
Was anybody really into it? Was anybody... I guess I shouldn't ask that question. Is there anybody, though, that really seemed to dig every aspect of it and was maybe telling, hey, we got to go now, we got to go? Was there a cruise director?
Well, it's kind of my wife. Kind of my wife was well, no, not really. It was my brother-in-law. I don't know. It was a family thing. They all
anybody have a designated driver and maybe have a few pops?
No, there was none of that. You know, no one even got hammered because there was. By the time you got to, come on, give me a free pass.
2005.
On that.
Let's welcome it back.
There are no free
passes.
Yeah.
I'm going to accept that in 2005.
Love that thing.
Click.
Oh, too short. So that sucked, and you know that's when I had the first of many private little fits over this holiday, when it was just, it was too much. So then we get done with that, and it's time for Christmas and all of the shopping, and I won't bore you with that, but just how pig-headed people are and how stupid people that work at places like Circuit City are, and how you can stand at a counter and be talking to your goddamn slacker friend for 15 minutes when there's 10 people waiting in line. God, I wanted to jump through the line and pummel this kid.
Good for you.
But I didn't. I let everything roll off my back after I had my moment. Then we had a very nice Christmas Eve. That was myself, Frida, Bart, Big Frida, my mother-in-law, mm-hmm, Buzz, Marcia, and Buzz's mother-in-law.
You had two mother-in-laws
in one location.
Dot. Dot is
Dottie.
Her name.
Dorothy, Dottie, yes.
Yes, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. Dottie, like from Pee Wee Herman?
Dorothy from Kansas, yes.
Okay.
She is a very nice lady.
Yes.
And we had some very good, some funny, with Buzz, funny Buzz awkward moments.
Ah.
Really? Because Buzz was very concerned about the dynamic of bringing his mother-in-law over to my mother-in-law, you know, for Christmas Eve. I don't know what you thought would happen.
Fight?
When they got together, a fight.
A mother-in-law fight?
I don't think.
A big fight.
Hanging.
I like chestnuts.
Well, I know what you were worried about. I can say it now. You know, you're worried that the conversation was going to be one 83-year-old lady talking to a 90-year-old lady about, right, you know, the things they talk about.
And the rest of us just listening politely.
So mm-hmm.
But the martini helped.
Oh, and Buzz got
the 90-something?
That took a... No, for me. The awkwardness gone after one of those. One powerful martini.
Buzz had a very strong drink, and after about 10 minutes, he wasn't uptight anymore.
No. Very good.
Like when he first walked in the door, he said...
You know, I think if you go back through history, that might have been what it was invented for.
Yes.
He said, What do you think is going to happen tonight? They're walking, they're taking their hats. I said, hey, chill out. We're going to have a great time.
Right.
Okay, how do you think it's going to go with the ladies?
Yeah.
I said, I think it'll go fine. Okay. All right, I'm just watching. I'm watching, is what he said. He's watching. So he gets his drink, and I noticed that Buzz's body position on Christmas Eve in his chair, when he first arrived, he was so nervous about the mingling of his mother-in-law with other people.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Not just my mother-in-law.
Yes.
Other human beings.
Is there any particular reason for that? I mean,
I think it's just the natural nervousness. You know, whenever somebody, you know, you're related to or a close friend, you have them meet some of your other friends for the first time.
Is she outspoken at all?
She wasn't on this occasion, no.
Is she uncomfortable around city folk?
She spoke like a sailor. I just want to say, she talked a blue streak. She could not do a radio show.
This is the best drink I've ever effing had.
No, she was very nice. And the point I was trying to make about Buzz's body language was, he was sitting in this chair, and Buzz was erect. I mean, he was...
Whoa, he slow was down, Tiger.
Stiff, if you will.
He was sitting on edge on the seat, and he had the white knuckles as he was holding to the arms of the chair. And then the drink arrived. And then as the drink...
Did the older ladies have... I mean, I'm all concerned about you guys and Buzz and his body position and everything. Did the older ladies drink?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Yeah,
they have old lady drink?
They had Manhattans.
Manhattans. Old lady drink.
Yeah.
But it's a great old lady drink. It's a saucy old lady drink.
So he was very uptight, and then at one point he just started to slink down in the chair.
I'm melting.
And no, really, his shoulders were almost up to his earlobes. That's how I said
uptight.
I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "This was a good drink." He was okay, and then we had the Christmas Eve dinner.
Wonderful.
Nice. With them, and then...
who carved the very first slice of roast beef?
I did.
Good.
I did, and was told by my wife, one of millions of things that I did wrong over the weekend, or over the holiday. There was a list of things that I did wrong. Apparently, you're supposed to slice it one way.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I sliced it in a way that everybody got a nice hunk, a nice piece.
What, did you cook a bird?
No, it was
roast beef.
Roast beef. Big ass roast beef. Anyway, I got it wrong, but we had a wonderful time and Buzz. That was a
well. People don't realize that when you cook a roast beef, you quarter it.
No one complained.
Everybody gets what an effect looks like. A little steak, little triangular steak.
Loved it.
Right. Eat up.
Right, just like Emerald.
You got everything in this one. You got rare, medium, and well done. Enjoy.
Then we get to Christmas.
Yeah.
We're going to build up to something big here before the break. Something that's just, you know what? I'm going to wait and do it right now. I'll tell you more of this junk. I'll call my head during a commercial break because I'm all over the road right now.
Call your head?
Call my head.
Oh, calm my head.
C-A-L-M.
Okay, calm your head.
Oh, call my head.
All right.
Call my head.
Call your head.
That's a collect call.
Hello.
I've just got so much to get to.
I know.
And I don't want it all to be hatred and how much my family...
You don't seem that agitated.
Drove me crazy. This was the highlight of my holiday.
Mm-hmm.
This is New Year's Eve. There's a couple that we know. I'm not going to say their names. But they've been friends of ours for, at least 10, maybe 15 years.
Okay.
Good friends. They've been married longer than we have. They've been married, I think, maybe 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And not that there is, but never a spot of a problem with these two.
Hmm.
I mean, we've even been on vacations with these people.
Right.
Where they don't yell at each other like Frida and I do. You know, it just doesn't happen.
They're calm.
They're very calm. Well, they came over for New Year's Eve. And he was saying, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing great. And he mentioned that he had recently moved out of Potomac, Maryland, which is an overpriced suburb in the D.C. area.
Yes, very exclusive.
He moved out to the country a little bit. And he said that his wife...
This is New Year's Eve we're talking about?
New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
because it gets back to Christmas, what he gave her for Christmas. He said his wife is very upset that they left Potomac, Maryland, because she liked the zip code. She liked the zip code being on the return address because, you know.
It's a status symbol. It says something about you.
It's a woman thing.
Yes.
You know, and so he and I were going back and forth on that, and I said, well, that's just ridiculous.
And you can speak figuratively, say, you know, you like the zip code. You like living in that neighborhood, that she
that's what
neighborhood.
Right, so that's what it's saying. And now he's moved her out.
Somewhere. He didn't mean that probably. She literally was looking at the, you know, look at those numbers.
Great digits.
Great, terrific digits.
Whatever those, 208, whatever it is, apparently these are the numbers that made this woman go for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's in some other zip code that's not as good.
Right.
And he told me that she's been haranguing him about this.
Uh-huh.
Saying, I like where we live now, but it's not 208, you know, whatever the number is.
Right.
So, for Christmas, he really did this. He told me, and I asked her, and it's true. He said that he called her in a room, and he said, darling, I know how much you miss living in Potomac. And I want you to know that inside this envelope, I went out and I bought some property. Please check out the zip code. From me to you, Merry Christmas. Now, she thinks...
Oh, no.
She thinks that he has bought, you know, some land or a house or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving back. She rips open the envelope, and this is not a joke. It's a single funeral plot. A cemetery plot.
In that zip code.
I would have said post office box.
No. A single funeral plot, cemetery plot, in this zip code.
In Potomac.
And he writes on the card, you can move in... anytime you want.
Oh, my. Wait, this is Christmas Day?
This is Christmas Day.
This is like under the guise of a...
Christmas Day.
Whoa. Wow.
Listen, strike me dead if I'm not telling you the truth.
Oh, wow.
I'm leaving the names out of it, but it is the truth.
Wow.
Now, this is a guy who, he's such a straight-laced, normal, average Joe. Never do I get this stuff from him. So I said...
Pretty funny.
Come on, you got to be kidding. And he said, oh, no, ask her when she comes upstairs. So... wife comes upstairs, and he says, hey, I was just telling him about my Christmas present to you. And she said, what do you think of that? And I said, gosh, I don't know what to say. She said, I'll tell you what I think. I don't think it's very funny. And then he said, you know, you could move in this weekend if you wanted to.
Oh, my God.
Well,
this is interesting.
He is funny.
It's like... fall down funny, and then everybody that was at our party on New Year's Eve, I felt the need to, when I would introduce them to this guy, I'd say, hi, you don't know this guy, he's been a friend of mine for a long time. He just bought his wife a funeral plot.
I'm sure that certainly helped matters, I'm sure.
Well, I only introduced him like that to the fellas.
Yeah,
fellas.
Just what guy wouldn't laugh at that?
Sure.
But the thing is, he really did it.
Well, and it's not cheap, is it?
I don't know.
I don't think it's... I mean, to buy a cemetery plot, it's you know, you're not talking about $20.
I don't know.
Especially in that zip code.
I did not...
Now, that would have been funny at the party.
But it's true. It's real.
Did it escalate at all, or was that it today?
No, that was it. And then I would mention it from time to time, and eventually, towards the end of the night, he started giving me that... yeah, that sign with his hand, like, okay,
play it down.
You know, enough.
Okay.
You know, and I know what
he's getting really. We're not going to have a good drive home.
You know what he's saying? I got 4 hours in the car with her tomorrow.
Ooh. Please don't.
But how great is that?
Wow.
How great is that?
That's a hero. That's a pretty funny move right there.
Now, here's a guy that I mentioned. Been married maybe 25 or 30 years.
No sign of trouble.
Good soldier.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's like
a good earner.
Like everybody else. You know, takes his share of the good with the bad. Never been one to stand up for himself, for goodness sakes, and certainly never in a manner like that.
Well, and at least what he did was done, you know, there was a comedic element to it.
Sure was.
You know, it wasn't like, if it wasn't a comedic element, then he might have just found her a plot.
But what's the first thing they say? In every joke, there's just a grain of truth.
Of course.
A grain of truth.
Do you think she could really use it if the time ever comes?
I think he'll make sure she uses it. I don't think she's going to have a lot to say.
He'll be buried out in the country.
It's always waiting for her.
Maybe they can tunnel to one another.
He mentioned it on New Year's morning when everybody was all hung over and coming down for coffee. And they had those big ass bags under their eyes. And she came down, she said something like, do we have to go now or something? He said, yes, the faster we get home, the faster you can move in.
Wow. Because he knew he was going to. That's the hungover bad judgment joke.
He's killing me with
the hangover. Yeah. The hangover bad judgment joke is a very Jane Danvers thing.
Yes, I'm the best audience for that because I was not able to control myself.
Oh, you! I can see you. Did you like roll on the floor?
I was in shock. I mean, this is like Mr. Straight-laced businessman.
Right.
Everything that I'm not. He pulled the trick right out of my bag and did it bigger and better than I ever would have.
Did you at any time inform him that although he was getting the big laugh out of the guys, that there will be some kind of payback in his future? There will be
something.
As long
as he's been married, he knows.
I think he's an expert.
Right.
You know, he goes right back to the front lines. I mean,
right.
He went right back to the DMZ as soon as they hopped into his car and drove back home.
That's when his joy ended.
So anyway. Salute to our friends.
Salute. Turn the ignition, sir. Your joy is over.
And the other thing that he did, and I can't say this without giving their names, but the whole time we've known her through a nickname.
Right.
Which really doesn't have anything to do with her real name. It's a variation.
Guessed. Right.
But I noticed when he would speak to her about the funeral plot, he called her by her formal name. Which was just another way of
rubbing it in.
You know how you don't like it when someone calls you Michael?
Yes.
Well, imagine if someone you love was telling you they bought your funeral plot.
You can move any time, Michael.
Yeah, this was like that. Yeah.
Except he's using a name.
Well, that's probably what it says on the actual document.
And as a matter of fact, the first time that he said this with her name, I said, hey! I forgot that's your name. And you know, and it's a beautiful name.
Right.
Her real name and her nickname. Mm-hmm. But she didn't like that either.
That's incredible.
She didn't like that either.
You can move in any time, Cornelia.
I think we're seeing them this weekend. I'm not kidding.
Oh, good.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how she has handled the...
Hope you see them both.
Much more to get to. Everybody, the stuff we'll get to everybody today. Glad to be back, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What do you want?
Actually, I'm trying to talk to Mugatu, but he's tougher to get to than the president.
Oh, thought you were going to tell me what a bad Yagoogalizer I am.
A what?
A Yagoogalizer? One who speaks at funerals? Or did you think I'd be too stupid to know what a Yagoogly was?
The Don and Mike Show.
That's another thing.
The home of hilarity. Hi. The Don and Mike Show.
Really? Ben Stiller. Step off, dude. I saw Meet the Fockers.
You took in Meet the Fockers?
I'd like you to meet my Fockers.
That bad?
I walked out of it.
Yeah.
I can't say that it was my family or anybody else.
You just hated the movie.
I went by myself.
Wow.
Right?
I went by myself.
Didn't like it.
No, Meet the Fockers did not. You liked it?
I did.
You didn't think the baby was in it too much?
No. I mean, I thought the jokes were funny. The story involved me. I like it.
You didn't find Robert De Niro to be a sad caricature of a man? I've never said this about him, Mike. A common whore.
Oh, my God. Bobby De Niro, your man.
Robert De Niro.
But Dustin Hoffman and Barbara Streisand, I thought, brought something new to the table and something good. I enjoyed it.
They were okay.
Yeah.
Didn't like it. Just another one of my negative notes.
Did you take in any other cinema?
Yes, I did. Flight of the Phoenix.
Really?
That was really great, too.
Did that suck?
Yeah, that sucked.
Sorry.
Yes, it sucked. You know, the last movie, and I was having this argument with my family, the last movie I liked was The Incredibles.
It's a good choice.
Aviator?
The last movie I saw that I liked was National Treasure. With Nicolas Cage.
I didn't get a chance to see that.
But I saw one. I literally have a mental block on it, and it was the worst movie I've ever seen. It was a horror movie, and it was...
It must have been Meet the Fockers.
It was not. It was... Noise? What?
White Noise?
No, it was not White Noise. I'm blocking it. I don't even remember what it was. It was with Anna Paquin.
Right. Meet the Fockers.
Anna Paquin was in it, and it was the worst movie the worst horror movie I've ever seen.
Also with Ben Stiller, who was in Meet the Fockers.
Right.
Enough with working out. I'm tired of seeing every goddamn actor in the world who looks like they spend 24 hours a day at a gym. It was both him and whoever his real-life wife.
Since he did Zoolander, that's what he's all about.
His wife is Christine Taylor.
He's into pursing his lips and doing that, ooh.
You know, he's only 3'8" in real life.
Really?
It would be very short. A good contest that would be who has bigger breasts, Dustin Hoffman or Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, good.
There are a couple of scenes with Dustin Hoffman with
is
the
that
open
cup
shirt.
And size?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Girth. Yeah, on both.
Girth.
Anyway, not funny. Just not funny. And I went in wanting to laugh. I was a man escaping the world.
I know. Right?
Understand, I had just made it out of the cuckoo's nest.
Yes.
I was alone.
You went alone?
Yeah, I went
you
alone.
You did have some alone time.
Sure I did. Well, I'll get to that when I finally reached the point of no return.
You had some downtime.
But I'm almost there. I'm almost done with this. Oh, I want to mention that this week on the show, J-Dubs, our own lovable J-Dubs, yeah. Dubs, will come face-to-face with the head coach of your Detroit Lions, Steve Mariucci.
Well, how exciting is that? We're going to have him handle that,
wow.
Huh?
Yes, we are. So, Steve Mariucci will be on the show this week with J-Dubs.
How come you were so bad to me?
He's got all the tattoos.
You have any plans for the upcoming season?
Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will be on Friday. Rich is brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the movies or music you love.
That's all I watched on the vacation was the NFL channel.
Right. That's right.
Thing.
Oh, Christmas. Okay, I'm going to fly through the rest of this thing. Christmas was a great day, as opposed to some of these other days. Really good. Everybody was up early.
It's a great day. You're right about that. You're not telling me anything. It's Jesus' birthday.
That's right. Yeah. The entire process was good. My wife, because I'm materialistic, I'm sorry. It's all about the gifts. She got me Green Bay Packers carpeting.
Wow.
Yeah. Just like the kind they have in the locker room.
Oh, wow. Where are you going to put it? In your cave?
It's already in my cave.
It's wall to wall?
Yeah, it's nice.
Was it in a surprise?
No, it's big enough to go.
But it's big enough to kind of look like wall to wall?
Yeah, it's cool.
Is it a pattern of logos, or is there one big logo in the middle?
It's a pattern of the G.
There you go.
Pattern of the G.
That's very cool.
And
nice.
I'm very OCD about keeping it clean.
Sure.
Like, no, don't bring that in here. That's caramel colored.
So that's great. We had a great Christmas. One of the gifts that my son got was a little handheld video recorder.
Ah.
Because his major in school is now turned to film or
right,
but whatever it is.
He's going to be the next Michael Moore.
Mm-hmm. So, this is still on Christmas Day, but I'm still cruising in a great mood. It's about 2 in the afternoon. We've opened the gifts. We've had some champagne. We've had some coffee. We were cutting up ham. You know, I mean, it's we're doing that Christmas thing.
Yeah. It sounds like a trip to the commode for me. You've had champagne. You've had coffee. You've cut up ham. Now call the paramedics.
Hold on, Mike. Here's that movie that you saw. Hello, Zach.
The movie we're talking about is a movie called The Darkness.
The Darkness, did you see it?
No, I did not.
It was and is, and I am not, I don't want to overstate this because it sounds like I'm copying my esteemed colleague. It is the worst horror movie, and I specify a horror movie. It is the single worst horror movie I have ever seen, and it is the single worst because it ends and you have no idea what happened or what it was about.
Wow.
And through most of the movie,
same in Nathan Fox.
You have no idea, and there's no scary parts. There's no real payoff, except for, like...
There were scary parts of Meet the Fockers, like where Dustin Hoffman takes his shirt off.
Yes, true. You're pretty obsessed with Meet the Fockers, aren't you?
Listen, I wanted to like the movie.
Maybe you should have gone to see The Darkness.
America loves this movie. I didn't love it. Mm-hmm. I thought it had some potential in the beginning, but they brought a baby in.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you bring a baby in, it's doom. Same thing on a sitcom.
You know what's scary is Fat Albert.
Ooh. Did you see Fat Albert?
No, I haven't seen a movie since Austin Powers.
I dodged that one this weekend with my kids.
Really?
I just didn't want to go see it.
I got to see Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, with your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucky guy.
Yeah. Champagne, ham, and coffee. Merry Christmas.
Oh,
here's a stocking full of Lipitor.
I get my kid this little handheld video camera.
Right.
So it's Christmas Day, and... I was up and down and up and down this whole vacation. Well, I was really up. I was feeling great. I go upstairs.
Was that the ham or the coffee? I'm sorry, I'll stop. It was just an interesting combination of beverages and foodstuffs.
Well, it's what we had. You know, we had ham left over from...
I like to cube my ham and put it in the champagne. That's what I enjoy.
Have you ever had, like, honey-cured ham? And have you ever poured some coffee over it?
With just a little champagne.
Yeah.
From Kraft.
You put it in a bucket, you put eggs on top.
It's delicious.
I'm telling you, it's great on sandwiches the next day.
So I'm over that. I'm sorry. He had the handheld camera. I was interjecting there.
And this is where I lost it on Christmas Day. Because we're all doing what we're doing, assembling gifts and having fun.
Right.
I go up to our bedroom to change my clothes and take a shower. It's about 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
I go in. I see some stuff I got to do. I got a clock that I have to set. I'm not thinking anything. I'm in there like 20 minutes. I sit down on the edge of the bed. I untie my shoes. Start to pull my sweatpants down. When I notice, I look directly to the right. There's a sofa in our bedroom. And there are a couple of pillows that are in a slightly different spot than they normally are. I see a red light.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
This little bastard, my son, I can call him that.
Yeah?
Has come, like, 10 seconds away from a shot of me naked.
So he's got your whole routine on tape?
Right. So I grabbed the thing, the camcorder,
right.
And I said, huh, you all, I'm looking at it now. As I'm walking towards it, I go, oh. And you can see, when he replayed the tape, as he did many times, I hike my sweatpants up.
Good.
And it's that thing where you're looking at it just from, obviously, the lens.
Right.
And I get closer and closer. I look right at the lens as if he's there, and I say, you almost had me. You almost had me. You son of a...
Wow, did he do the hidden camera trick at all after that?
So what happens is, I go in... This is why I made a mistake, a tactical mistake. I go in the other room, and I say, hey, come on, that's not cool. I said, that's really not funny. And then he said, let's just watch it. So we watched it, and even I had to laugh.
Yeah.
Now,
it's you not knowing anybody's watching you.
Now, this was fine. This was fine.
Okay.
Until the next day. The day after Christmas. When he's at a friend's house. And he calls me up. And he says, hey, Dad. I'm playing your video. For Kyle.
Oh, God.
And for his girlfriend.
And are they all enjoying it? Is it high comedy?
Yes. I swear to God, I hear the kids in the background.
And that's just See, to me, you don't even have to do anything. Just the idea that you're there and you don't know the camera's there is funny in itself.
So I let that one go. Now it's the next day. It's 2 days after Christmas. I am in the shower. I leave the shower area. Again, my bathroom. My wife's bathroom.
Right.
Private place.
I walk through the closet area naked.
It's a dressing area.
Well, sure. I do. Because it's what... Mike, I got out of the shower.
I'm just laughing already. Where's the camera?
Okay. The camera is perched on a shelf in the next room.
Oh, my God.
Which is looking right at me. Now, this is 2 days later. I'm walking naked, and I'm dragging the towel behind me. As soon as I see the red light, woof, I cover myself with the towel, and then I lose it. I go, hey, not funny. This is not funny. Now, I'm covering myself.
Did he ever get you without you discovering the camera?
Well, as it turns out, when we viewed...
He's got hours.
When we viewed the tape, I was not as fast with the towel as I thought I was.
Oh, right.
Yeah. As I was... So what you really get is a pretty good shot of me just coming through the doors of the bathroom into this closet area.
Wow.
Which leads to another room absolutely naked.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Keep telling me that's great.
Oh, if you'd called me, I would have flown up to see it.
Yeah, well, if he had taken the movie of you,
right?
You wouldn't You wouldn't be, because then we started playing this game. I said to him, okay, that's fine. You got the other one that you showed your friends.
That's it. No more.
I want that tape. I want that disc, whatever that is.
Right.
And he says, because he thinks I'm not mad. I'm still kidding.
Right.
He said, do you really want it, Dad? Now, keep in mind, my son is now 6'2".
Sure.
I call him Stretch.
Uh-huh.
Starts doing this thing. Do you want it? It's way up here, Dad. It's way up here. Thinking that I'm going to be so stupid, I'm going to jump like a dog.
Right.
Except, guess what? I am, and I do. So now, I'm going like this. I'm going, hey, come on, give me that tape. Come on, you can't.
I have only one question for you.
Yeah.
Is it on the internet yet? The Donnie tape. The unauthorized Donnie tape.
So then we had to have the discussion. Another one of the discussions where I, you know.
Does it have infrared?
I ruined the whole holiday because when you hear this from someone else, like, for instance, when I come downstairs to plead my case with the jury,
right.
This case is my mother-in-law and my wife. Bart comes down laughing and says, hey, I got another movie of Dad.
Well, everyone's laughing.
And they
I'm sorry. Yeah. That's funny.
They watch the movie.
Yeah.
And they laugh.
Of course.
They watch the movie of you naked?
Yes. And they laugh. Now, I said, hey, this isn't cool. But because they're laughing.
Right.
I'm laughing.
Yeah, you can't help it.
I mean, I'm laughing on the outside.
No.
On the inside, I'm killing all of them. I really am literally killing all of them.
What's the total time of of unknown, unsuspecting video that he got?
The first video in the bedroom, 36 minutes.
Wow.
Now, you got
it's just you doing things.
It's me sitting on the foot of the bed. I'm going to take a shower. I take my shoes off. I start to hike down my sweatpants. Then I think, I better hook up that new clock.
Yeah.
Right. So then I hike the sweatpants back up. And you see me kind of leave the frame. And then you hear me in the corner. You hear, you know, the rustling of this stuff.
Right.
And then you hear me trying to get this thing working.
Right.
And then you hear me get mad at one point because it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, of course, I don't know that I'm being taped.
Right. Not that I could say would have you put that on the website.
No. That tape doesn't exist anymore, Mike.
Okay. All right.
As far as you know, that tape is gone. You know. I don't care.
Playing all weekend at a Clemson coffee house.
Listen, the one of me going from the shower is very brief. It's like 7 seconds.
Do you know, at least until you discover the camera, that's a real documentary. That's pure documentary,
right?
Documentary filmmaking with total obliviousness to the camera.
The other one where I'm sitting on the edge of the bed, like I said, that's 36 minutes.
Wow.
And I was sitting originally watching it with my mother and my mother-in-law.
Ooh. Right.
Awkward again.
Yeah.
Where they're analyzing it as we're watching it. They're saying, now, why is it that you sit on the bed, take your shoes off, start to take your sweatpants off, then decide you're going to go fix the clock?
Well,
and I'm standing there getting real defensive, thinking, well, I didn't know there was a camera.
But I could analyze. I've known you long enough, and I know you well enough where I could be able to do the analysis with that.
Yeah.
That would be the OCC in you, the obsessive compulsive, where you see the clock's not right.
Right.
And that immediately takes precedence over everything.
Let me just say this, too. Thank God. I didn't, like, scratch.
Yeah, I wondered.
You know, because, you know, I do that. Everybody does that.
But as I said before,
the door to the bedroom was shut. I thought I had some privacy.
The funny thing is, though, anyone who just doesn't know that they're being watched, they don't have to do anything to make it funny. They, you know what I mean?
Oh, I found that out.
See, I'm laughing because I think somewhere I've seen something like that where somebody didn't know what was going on and it is.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It is just
caught
hilarious.
In the act of being yourself.
It just added.
Alan Fun.
You know. It just added. And then, you know, if one more person said to me, come on, get in the holiday spirit.
Right.
I don't know who it is that I said it to, a brother or sister-in-law. I said something like, okay, I tell you what. I'll hide a camera in your bedroom, and you go in and take your clothes off, and I'll bring it out here, and we'll see how funny it is.
Yeah.
And every time I said that, it came out meaner than I meant it to.
Right.
And the other person always said, hey, I didn't mean it. I thought you were okay with this.
Yeah, right.
And finally, about the 10th person, I said, who thinks that I'm okay with my kid having a tape of me almost taking my clothes off?
When it least expected, you're the star today.
Yeah.
Smile, you're on Candid Camera.
About your son.
That's funny.
Oh, so he enjoyed his Christmas present, is what you're saying.
Nice shift.
He sure did.
Right, and you know, he'll probably be doing this to a lot of other people.
Yes.
I hope so. You know, just not with me anymore.
And, you know, just tell him not to do it, you know, where he, like, carries it around in the, you know, the shopping bag in malls and stuff.
No.
Got to wait. You go to prison for that.
Right.
Yeah. I was plenty of upset. Also, I wanted to mention from the holiday, gosh, I'm almost done. Saw Big Don O'Brien on New Year's Eve, good friend of our show, working in radio up in the Eastern Shore. Want to say a big hi to Big Don O'Brien.
Good man. Yep.
And then it was after New Year's when I reached the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been in my car. I'd been screaming in my car alone.
That was December 17th.
It seemed that there could be nowhere in my home that I could go where someone else didn't immediately want to be in the same room.
You had lost it less than 24 hours into your break, so I can imagine by post New Year's you were ready to go.
Yeah. So I just said to my wife, real plain. I said, listen, there are two things we can do. Either seriously, I'm going to like check myself into a rubber room,
mm-hmm.
or I'm going to go to Ocean City
right.
for a couple of days. And
alone.
Yeah, there's the key alone. Word. There's the key word. Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that ended up being great.
Good.
What was this view?
Yeah, except for when I had to take my mother-in-law to Circuit City to have the radio put in her car, and that's where I dealt with the dumb guy that was on the telephone for 10 minutes while I'm standing there with an 83-year-old woman wanting to get a radio put in a goddamn car, and the guy's looking at me like I'm wasting his time
right.
while he's talking about if he's going to have fries or not with his Angus burger that night. I'm serious.
You know, you had said that you were worried that you couldn't work it all up. You seem to have done a pretty good job.
Yeah.